What's up, everyone? Back to you guys with the Finta Football Podcast. Monday night here, recording. Back with Anthony. What's up, man?
What's up? How's it going?
Good, good. How's your weekend?
It's a good weekend. Not too much soccer. I caught a lot of the Champions League last weekend, though.
Yeah. Any highlights?
Watch. I mean, Ronaldo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Juventus beat Barcelona. So
yeah, same. I try to watch as much as I could, and only caught a couple games, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird weekend.
Well, yeah. I would say it wasn't like action packed because like both Ronaldo's goals came off penalty kicks.
There was some pretty big games. But yeah. I felt like last weekend there was some bigger games.
Yeah.
This week, there was the Madrid derby was pretty big. Mm-hmm. Forgot to mention that to you. We'll probably cover that too. Atletico Madrid versus Real Madrid. They're big rivals, same city. So that was a big game. So yeah, we'll actually talk about that. But what drew my attention was today's Champions League draw. So yep. The round of 16, the knockout stages are set to take place next year, 2021, February. So I thought it was important to do some predictions on that, see the matchups, and then discuss them a bit more. So I think that'll be a pretty good place to start. So looking at the first game here of the draw, we got Borussia Mönchengladbach. Remember your name? They're out of Germany.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Sounds German. Borussia Mönchengladbach. They're facing Manchester City out of England. So, you know, looking at that matchup for the regular average person who doesn't really follow soccer in a way.
I think Man City.
Yeah, yeah. You probably think Man City, right? But look out for Borussia Mönchengladbach because they had a really good group stage. Okay. They were in that tough group with Madrid, Inter Milan, and...
Oh, they came out of that group?
Yeah, they came out of that group. So that was a tough group to get out of in the first place. So, definitely don't underestimate them if you're a Manchester City fan because they got some good attacking players, honestly. I didn't watch much of them, but from the highlights, I know they up top, they got some killers. And their wingers are really, really fast. They got some creative players up top, so... So, I mean, if I'm Manchester City, I'm not... I mean,
they're a tough team.
Obviously, you want to be confident, but it's going to be a tough outing for them for sure.
Yeah, because like, I almost wrote that off. Like, I'm a pretty casual fan, and I just see Man City. I'm like, and another team, I'm like, I haven't really heard of these guys.
Yeah, you never heard of them, but yeah. I mean, like we said, they came out of that group to get ahead of Inter. Inter Milan's a powerhouse. Inter Milan got... pretty stacked this offseason just for the fact that they wanted to do good in the Champions League, and for them to not get out of it was kind of, I would say, a big shock. They're probably definitely hurting there. I follow some Inter players and they definitely were disappointed in not qualifying, so
yeah,
that was a big thing for this Borussia team. On Manchester City side, obviously Manchester City is Manchester City. They're a powerhouse, invest billions into their squad. They got world-class players. I think the difference for them in this tie is going to be the availability of Kun. That's Sergio Aguero, who's their star number 9 forward. He's been hurt throughout the start of this year. So they're still winning, getting results, but... It's not the same Manchester City team as you're used to seeing. They've been struggling in the way they play. I've caught a couple of their games and they don't have that like fluidity they usually do. I don't know if it's just a thing with like players not sinking right now. Maybe bad form, but this game's going to be tough for them for sure. So,
yeah. I mean, luckily for them, like, there's still like about like a month and a half till games.
Yeah, that's what I mean by I think if Kun Aguero's back in that one, I think they're just got too much talent, you know. The talent at the end of the day does make a big difference. So defensively, we'll see how they handle. Like I said, the Borussia team has a bunch of quality attackers. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those guys, their forwards, get bought by big teams this next offseason just because of how well they've performed. Yeah.
That sucks for how these teams, like, they perform on, then they just get picked apart.
Yeah, right? It's like, I mean, I feel like that's, like, like in basketball, you know how, like, there's small market teams? So say, like...
Like the Orlando Magic are never going to have a star.
Say they have, like, a star who breaks out.
Yeah.
And they're, people are, like, immediately, like, the big teams are immediately gunning for them. So it's that like that. That
sucks. They should honestly, in sports, there should be, like, a 6-year minimum from where you get drafted.
Yeah, because like if you like baseball, they do those massive contracts. Like they lock them up to
That's the other thing with like baseball. It's like the Yankees and Dodgers. Like I'm a Dodger fan, like, so like 10-year I have contracts no regret in this. Players, yeah. Like I love how we buy up players. Yeah. Like, but if I was like the Tampa Bay Rays, if I was a Tampa fan, that would suck.
Yeah, it's the same for soccer. And that usually happens to like a lot of those teams. Like, for example, that Red Bull Leipzig team. Mm-hmm. They had that star striker, Timo Werner.
Yeah.
Who just absolutely just balled out the whole last year. Like 20-plus goals in competitions, in all competitions. Then gets bought by Chelsea Football Club, who's invests billions, too, in their squad. So luckily, it's the same thing, I feel like, in every sport.
Luckily, they're so able to stay competitive.
I feel like those smaller teams, what they do too is they buy cheap, so they'll like their scouting networks are really good because they'll go out to like South America, Mexico, and buy really good, talented young players on the low, like for cheap. They'll probably pay like less than $1 million for them, and then they perform like 2 years, just like ball out, and then they sell them like $30 million plus. You know, so. At the end of the day, it's like a business for them, too. It's like a
buy low, sell high type thing. Okay.
Yeah, so, that's Borussia right there, those teams. The second game we got on here is Lazio out of Italy, Italian league. They're facing Bayern Munich. Oh, that's going to be a tough game, too. Initial thoughts on that one is Lazio is... is a good team, honestly. I mean, if you're in the Champions League, you're a good team, you know. So every game is going to be tough, especially once the knockout stages come. And especially in soccer, you never know. You know, every game's different. Doesn't matter how good you are. You know, every game's different. The form, you know, one game you could come out firing, the other not. So that's just soccer. But I just think Bayern Munich's way too strong. And how they're playing, the group of guys they have, they're just so stacked, and their coaching goes a long way. I think Bayern Munich's, at the end of the day, is over two legs. I think they're going to be too much for that Italian team.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think they're going to be close games. I don't think it's going to be that big of a blowout because those Italian teams love, they know how to defend really well. Yeah. They know how to keep that shape well organized. So it's going to be hard for Bayern Munich to break them down, but over two legs, over two games, I feel like they're just too much, you know?
Yeah, I feel like Lazio, like, it's more of like, let's see how long we can hold them off than just like
gonna
be, going out there and winning.
It's going to be like that for sure. I mean, they do have some talented players as well.
Mm-hmm.
They got a really nice striker, Immobile, who's every year he's just off the charts. they got a couple others in there, but yeah, like I said, over two legs, I just fancy Bayern Munich more, especially with all the talent they have.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Next game on the list is Atletico de Madrid out of Spain. They're playing Chelsea out of England. This game is the one I'm looking forward to probably the most.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the styles of both teams. So Atletico de Madrid. Their style is more sit well, you know, defend well, keep the shape. They usually play like a 4-4-2, which is in soccer, that's like the most common formation. Yeah. Very stable, very compact. They just do their job really well. And it's going to be interesting to see, though, because Chelsea is a fun attacking side, especially with Frank Lampard, their new young manager.
Mm-hmm.
They play some really, really, really fun soccer to watch. I've caught a couple of their games, and going forward, they're just really fun to watch. And then they're well balanced too. So this game's definitely going to be fun. Like I said, Atletico de Madrid in the league, they're doing really well. They're in first place. Chelsea's also in their league, is in top three. They're doing really well. In the Champions League, they both did really well in the group stages. So this is such a well-rounded game. Honestly, it could go either way. But if I had to pick a winner over the two legs, this is so tough. But I think I'd have to. I'm leaning towards Chelsea, man. Just because
I run with the talent as well.
Yeah, no, it's honestly a tough, like, looking at it. Well, it's such a hard, that's going to be a really fun game. Like I said, I just think Chelsea going forward, they have more creative players.
Mm-hmm.
Atletico de Madrid, like I said, is a side whose style is more, like I said, sit back, keep your shape. And then when you get the opportunity, counterattack.
Yeah.
You know? But
it's like they're more patient.
Sit well. But I just think Chelsea is too much for them, you know? And like I said, Atletico, comparing the players, the squads, I just think Chelsea has more creative players. And at the end of the day, I think that's what's going to make the difference. Yeah. Atletico has João Félix, who's a really good young player. He's probably their most creative out of the bunch. You got Luis Suarez, but it is an older Luis Suarez.
Mm-hmm.
He is still a great striker, but
he's past his prime.
He's past his prime, definitely. And I just don't. It's a tough one, but I'll choose Chelsea on that one. We'll see. We'll keep this record. Come back to it. See.
Yeah, especially like. It's like one game, like you got to win or you're out. You got to have some players that can create.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it's two legs. So the first game, I feel like they always, Atleti's going to want to sit back, just get that draw, mm-hmm. and then play it all in the second leg. But like I said, Chelsea, I just feel like has more attacking options. I think they're more well balanced from the attacking third to the defensive side. But yeah, definitely keep an eye out for that game. That game's going to be really fun to watch over the two legs. next is the Red Bull Leipzig out of Germany. They're facing Liverpool FC out of England.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be another fun. I mean, these are all fun games, yeah. Fun ties. Red Bull Leipzig, no one saw them coming out of their group. They were in that tough group with Man U and those Man U, they got out of a tough group too, though.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they even made it out of the group is surprising. That just goes to show that that side is really well coached by that young coach I was telling you about.
Yeah. You mentioned them earlier or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like this was the team last year that kind of came out of so nowhere. This year.
They made it to the semis last year.
Yeah, and they played a really well game last week. Like, they really got up on them early. Yeah, got, like, a 3-0 lead quickly.
Yeah, the thing with them is their energy, I think. So
yeah. Are they like, a young team?
Yeah, they're a young team. Not too many, like, high-profile players' names. Mm-hmm. But they just, like, all work hard for each other.
Okay.
And I feel like the coach has them really well tactically. They just know what to do. They know their roles. They know their jobs. They just go out there and perform. But, I mean, Liverpool is Liverpool. I feel like they're just on a different level. And I ultimately see them taking that game, that tie. It should be close. Like I said, it should be close just because Red Bull Leipzig's no walk in the park for sure. They're going to be a tough outing. But at the end of the day, I just feel Liverpool's... they're just loaded, you know. They're probably the best team in Europe right now, one of the best teams. I just can't see Liverpool losing. I got Liverpool in that for sure. Porto, Juventus. Porto's out of Portugal. Juventus, Italian side. So Porto actually did really good in the group stages. I caught a couple of their games.
Mm-hmm.
They're also no. no walk in the park. They got they're well rounded too. They got some good players. Their coach is really good. He has them playing really well. Juventus was in that group with Barca. Mm-hmm. They came out on top after that last win versus them. So over two legs, you got Mr. Champions League himself, Juventus, yeah. Cristiano. he steps up every time, you know? So I feel like he's after something, Ronaldo, this year, especially in Champions League. Like, he just looks...
I mean, it's definitely, like, I don't know how many more years he has left in him. So, like, every opportunity he gets at these points, it's like you have to get as many trophies or accolades as possible.
Yeah, like you said, especially since he's 36, going on 37. So, he doesn't have much more runs. So, he's definitely looking to bring some more Champions League glory. And they call him Mr. Champions for a reason. Yeah. He always steps up in these big games. So I don't see him. And Juventus, they got a good side too, you know. So over two legs, like I said, that's pretty much the difference. It really makes a difference, those two games.
Yeah.
Because like I said, over one game, soccer, anything could happen. But if you have two opportunities, you know, I feel like over two legs, I think Juventus is just too much.
So can't see them getting bounced out in the first round.
Especially, like I said, with Ronaldo. It'd definitely be a surprise if they do. But I got Juventus in that one. Then you got, another dandy of a game.
This is my favorite.
Barcelona versus PSG. That game's going to be fun. Barca, we all know, isn't doing that well in their league domestically in Spain. But they only lost one game in the group stage. So, I mean, and then in the Champions League, that's saying something, you know.
Messi.
And they got the best player, arguably, to ever play the game.
Exactly.
Which helps. But you got that PSG side, Paris Saint-Germain, who's loaded with talent. Mm-hmm. You got Mbappe, Neymar, Di Maria, just the attacking talent on that side is insane. Yeah. And I don't know if Barcelona's defense is going to be able to cope with that attacking talent. I just think it's going to be too much for them. With their pace, just Mbappe, Neymar creating up top, I just feel like they're too much for Barcelona, especially how Barcelona's playing and in the form they're in. I'm a fan of Barcelona, you know, but it's honestly hard to see the way they're playing right now. So I don't see this game going any other way than PSG's way, even though Barcelona's been playing really good in that competition.
This Mbappe and Neymar, that's just like a disgusting duo. Like, I don't know how you deal with that.
It's not fair, bro. That's a cheat code.
Yeah,
you got that Neymar creating in there in the midfield, just free roaming. And then you got Mbappe with his pace just running out of nowhere.
And PSG kind of like runs their league. And so like they're not really like, they're already in like a very consistent winning style. For Barcelona, they have to deal with like such high talent all the time. Then, it's like never catch a breath.
Barcelona just has they're just a mess as a club right now, dude. It's hard to see them. It's actually sad to see. I was just thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about Barcelona, and there's this documentary on Netflix I was watching. It's called "Pass the Ball" or "Give the Ball" something. I forgot the name, but I'll get the name for you guys. I highly recommend it. It's about Barcelona's team the last decade Messi was coming up. Yeah. They had Pep Guardiola. They had those just talented teams the ones that created the tiki-taka, if you would, the ball movement, never lose ball, have the possession all the time. It was just so crazy to see. It gave me goosebumps because those teams were legendary, bro. Like, every team was so afraid to play Barcelona just because they were going to get demolished. You know, they weren't going to have any of the ball. They were going to keep the ball the whole game, just pass it around you. No long ball, nothing whatsoever. And, like, all the talent they had. And just to see, like, the club now, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of sad, depressing. Off. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like every big team goes through that kind of. Like, you see the Lakers. Mm-hmm. they kind of went through something similar. I feel like it has to do a lot with the board.
Yeah.
So they are having those elections too. Mm-hmm. They're selecting a new president. So hopefully with once they get the board structured more, hopefully they're going to start putting more time into the actual team.
Yeah.
And we'll start to see great academy players coming out like they used to.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like after Messi, it's going to be interesting to see like where they go where from we go. Here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they need to start. It's a reality now. You know, yeah. You never thought as a fan, I never thought we would be bad. But I mean, it's reality that Messi's getting older. Generation gets older. You lose players. Yeah. You gotta keep reinventing yourself, you know? And I feel like a big thing with them is they fell off from their academy team. So they used to promote a lot of players out of their academy, which is called La Masia.
Mm-hmm.
They got a whole academy there just designed to produce, develop players.
Just talent.
And they kind of went away from that. They started buying big players who were unproven in a way.
Yeah.
And they just started paying insane amounts of money for them to not even like perform, you know. I feel like they went away from their identity a bit, and that kind of caught up to them now.
Yeah.
So I feel like if we bring in new blood, especially guys who feel that that pride. Barcelona pride, which rumor has it like the next elected president is really, you know, is really a Barca guy.
Okay.
And he has big plans for the club, bringing old manager Xavi. Xavi was a legendary player for Barca who's now coaching. So I feel like we just need to get that old identity back, you know. And once we do, hopefully we'll start seeing that Barcelona where they should be, you know, fighting for those Champions Leagues, those titles.
If you don't move with the identity, then you're just lost as an organization. Yeah. Just chaos.
Yeah, we went away from that style. And I think that's what affected us more. So that's where we're in a bit of a rut right now. But hopefully soon, you know, we'll start coming back up, because Barcelona has such a big fan base now. They deserve to be on top. But yeah, like then that tie, I just see PSG, too much talent, too loaded, better form. Barca, like I said, is in shambles as a club. So I just see PSG taking that tie. The last two we got. Sevilla out of Spain, solid side. They're facing Borussia Dortmund, the German team. That should be a fun game.
Yeah.
Two teams, two hardworking teams. Sevilla is doing really well in their league. They're second or third, I believe, top three. They're doing really well domestically. And they had a really good group stage as well. They got some nice players, well-structured team. Their coach is a really good coach. Spain national team coach.
Okay.
He was in Madrid for a bit too. So they're a really well coached side. Really good defensively, actually. They got some nice young center backs who are really good. Attacking, they also got a couple players up top who are creative. Just a well coached, organized team. You know, they know how to do. Like I said, they know how to do their jobs. They work hard for one another. Mm-hmm. So. Facing Borussia Dortmund, we'll see how this game goes. It is in a month or a couple months, so it gives Borussia Dortmund time to, because they just fired their coach,
because
they weren't doing too well in their league after a couple losses. They fired their manager, so it'll be interesting to see how they come into that game, just by the fact that they fired their manager. We'll see if they hire someone new or just leave an interim manager, but that's definitely gonna also the availability of their striker Erling Haaland.
Oh,
that's gonna be the difference in this one for me. If he's healthy and available, that's gonna give Borussia Dortmund the edge, because attacking, he's just a monster, bro. He's like 19, 20 years old, but he's a natural born goal scorer. So the availability of Haaland, I think, is going to be the difference. If he's available, I see Dortmund winning.
Mm-hmm.
But Sevilla is a tough side. They, especially in Europe, in European competitions, they're always tough to beat. You know, just like I said, they're a well-coached team. They know how to play these games, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not big. Like, I feel, always feel like consistency is the biggest part. Yeah. Like, with Dortmund, like, firing their coach, it's like you got one team that's performing well on the top of the standings in their league, and then it's like the others, like, not rebuilding, but, like, they have to, like, kind of recreate that whole coach-player, like, chemistry.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to be a big difference. Just because both teams are coming in so different now, you know? But at times, too, bringing in a new coach just brings in new energy, you know, new ideas. True. So it could either go both ways. Like I said, for me, it's going to be the availability of Haaland. If he's in there, I see Dortmund winning. Just for the fact that up top, they're going to be way, way more deadly. And the last game, we got Atalanta out of Italy. They're facing off the Real Madrid out of Spain. So that game, like I said, for the average fan, you probably see Madrid, Atalanta, and go to Madrid, no? But Atalanta, remember, they were that dark horse last year, too. They made it all the way to the semis, too,
mm-hmm.
of the Champions League. They had a pretty good group stage as well. They got some fun players. Like I said, Italian sides are always really well defensively. They're always well-shaped. But like I said, Real Madrid is just too strong for me. I just don't see any other way than Madrid winning that one. It's going to be close for sure, but I see Madrid taking that one.
Yeah, I mean, Madrid's roster is just stacked.
Yeah, Madrid's just Madrid. You know, they're a big team. They know how to play these games. They're the most winningest team in the Champions League. 13 mm-hmm. titles, you know. Yeah. So they're just
Celtics.
Yeah, they're the Celtics Lakers of the Champions League. European giants for sure. Just to sum up the predictions, I got Man City, Bayern, Chelsea, Liverpool, Juve, PSG, Dortmund, and Real Madrid. So that's my final eight for the quarters. So we'll see. We'll go back once these games are done and see the predictions, see how they came out. But yeah, that's...
I mean, even the next round, there's just so many good games.
Yeah, there's some good solid teams in this year's draw, for sure. I think the best teams made it out of their group, so...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could argue Man U, but Man U's Man U. They're super inconsistent, so, you know, they got no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
Man U's just going to Man U. Yeah, that's the today's Champions League draw. Covered a little bit of that. Thought that was a big talking point today.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my biggest one. Just to wrap up, a couple other big points this weekend was here domestically in the U.S. We had the MLS Cup. We crowned a new champion. In that, Columbus Crew they beat Seattle Sounders. So the Eastern Conference took it this year. Columbus won their second title in franchise history. So yeah, I caught a bit of that game. The difference was a player, Lucas Celarayan, mm-hmm. a big money transfer. They brought him over from Mexico. They bought him from Mexican side Tigres for quite a bit of money, like $8 million. You know, so that was a big investment for them. And it paid off. The dude balled out this whole year for them. Like he was definitely worth the money. When they buy players, they call them DPs, designated players.
Okay.
So he was a big designated player, and this year's they invested in him. So they built that whole team around him, and they got a good coach, Caleb Porter, who's won before with the Portland Timbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the difference was just, I mean, Seattle is a really good team too. So yeah. I just think Columbus was way too, overall, I think they had a better team.
Yeah.
And that's what made the difference. Like I said, the creativity. During the game, Seattle couldn't really create up top. I felt like they needed a more creativity in that aspect of the game. And that's where Columbus took over and just, They dominated 3-0. They won 3-0.
I mean, they applied the pressure pretty early, like going up 2-0, like pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. They got those two early goals, and then it was pretty much you never saw Seattle as a threat in this one for me. You know, which is weird because Seattle's a really well coached team too. They got a really good coach, some great players, but they just didn't have that spark that they usually do. Seattle has. Their striker, their star striker, Ruiz Diaz, Peruan international, he couldn't get on the ball. They weren't feeding him balls, which is his strong suit, is be in the area, I'll finish it. He's a killer, and he just wasn't getting any service on that day. So, that was, they beat the defending champ, Seattle. So they got their second, which is interesting. Columbus has a pretty interesting story, and I was mentioning to you that they were bought out by the Cavs owner.
Yeah.
So they were actually going to be moved to Austin this last
really?
Year.
Yeah, in Texas?
The franchise, The franchise was going to be taken to Austin, but they started this Save the Crew hashtag. And they got that the president of
to
buy them and keep them in Columbus. So now they're getting a new stadium next year. They're moving into a new soccer-specific stadium.
It's good for Ohio, so, I guess. I mean,
Columbus has a big fan base. Like, all sports, I feel like. The Columbus guy, they go hard for their teams.
Yeah. I mean, that must have been a lot for the owner to keep them in Ohio instead of moving to Austin.
Yeah.
Especially with Austin being, like, such a great, like, up-and-coming city.
Yeah, Austin's got getting their own team either way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just not expensive the Columbus Crew. The Columbus, though, congratulations to them on that, their title, their second in franchise history. So, that was it for here. And then my last talking point was they had another final in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Club León defeated Pumas over two legs. The first game finished 1-1, and then the second game finished 2-0. So overall, the aggregate, they call it, was 3-1. I think the difference in this game was the first game. So the first game was played on Thursday, and that ended in a 1-1 draw.
Mm-hmm.
Pumas came out really good in that game. They were at home, so they knew they had to get on the board early. They did. They held the 1-0 lead throughout the whole game. And then towards the end, the 87th minute, they conceded a goal, which tied it up. So going in, I mean, in the morale aspect, I feel like that affected them.
It's momentum killer.
Just because they were playing, like I said, they were playing such a solid game.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't letting Club León possess the game, which is they're really good at. They were high pressing, just doing everything perfectly. Like, their whole game plan was set up perfect. To concede that last minute goal was just like, you know?
Yeah.
And then in the second game yesterday, León got an early goal in the 12th minute. And after that, to be honest, it wasn't the most exciting final to see. Just because that game, I feel like León was up now.
Mm-hmm.
And they just decided, you know, we're just going to...
Just the energy was gone.
Yeah, just the energy for Pumas too. I mean, they never really looked like a threat. Mm-hmm. And then... Obviously, towards the end, they pushed numbers forward to try to get that goal. And then they conceded another one on a counterattack. So 2-0 now. You know, that was a dagger in the 83rd minute. Club León's crowned the Liga MX champions for the eighth time in franchise history. So they move into the top five now with eight trophies, which is a pretty big deal for them. That team's really prideful. You know, they got a big fan base too. Guanajuato is a big state in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely have a lot of support. But Pumas too, they could have gotten their eighth title, but just didn't happen. You got the new champions of Mexico, Club León. So yeah. And then lastly, to finish off, just wanted to point out that Gio Reyna, another goal for him, youngster, out of Borussia Dortmund, got on the board again.
Yeah.
I like to point out those young players, you know, especially this kid, Gio Reyna, is going to be something else, man. He's a little baller for sure. 17 years old, just keeps doing it over there.
Is he, what position is he at?
Forward? He's like a winger. He could play as a winger, but like he's so creative, so he just like free roams like everywhere, you know, just give him the ball. Yeah. He'll do something. Yeah. And he, I mean, there's no surprise. He's the son of a legend, Claudio Reyna, who was U.S. men's national team legend. That's his kid. So, you know, the apple doesn't fall
for this.
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was some of the talking points I had for this podcast. If you guys, I just wanted to, if you guys have any, ideas about the podcast, feedback, like things you guys want to hear, or even if you want to get on the podcast, you know, we are going to start looking for more guests just to get on here and just talk soccer, man. So if you guys are soccer nuts like me, you know, just, love talking soccer, you know, DM us at the Finta page on social media. We'd love to just get you on and talk soccer for sure. Or like I said, if you have any recommendations, talking points that you think we should do, also DM us. You know, we're open to anything. At the end of the day, this is for you, for you guys, our followers, just creating content, talking soccer. So yeah, that's it for me. Anthony, I don't know if you had any other things you wanted to mention, say.
Another, I'm pretty sure there's special guest next week, right?
Yeah. Sam Strong.
Yeah.
Sam Strong, a soccer player himself, Santa Barbara local, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's going to be joining us, currently playing professionally, right?
Yeah. He was playing on the East Coast for Hartford.
Hartford. I believe they're in the USL, which is the second tier of the soccer pyramid here, which is really good, which is high level, especially how the game's growing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be fun chatting it up with him about some soccer for sure. So yeah, we're excited for that. That'll be next week. Stay tuned for that one. And yeah, like I said, in the future, hopefully we get on some more guests, just like as coaches, refs, you know, anyone who just...
Don't be afraid to reach out.
Yeah, hit us up, especially if you're ex-soccer. I know we got a couple professional soccer players following us already. We'd love to get you guys on too, you know, just talk about you guys, your seasons, the mentality, you know, everything. Just anyone who's involved within the soccer community, pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is just content, soccer content. So, yeah, stay tuned for that one next week. That should be fun. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Much appreciated, like always. And thank you guys for the support. Peace.